young man, we find the bride of our choice, get married, and the first child comes. But in all reality, we have no idea the amount of giving we're going to have to do for our children. I want to talk to you about the prodigal son and the prodigal father, I call them both, but I'm not going to read the whole story, but there's one verse that gives us some insight into what a father gives. I've often wondered about why the father gave in to his son when he said, "Father, give me my inheritance." Two things. Number one, at those times, you never got your inheritance until the father died. Number two, was this son reflecting character enough to handle this? And for years I've wondered, well, why did he say no? He could have said no, it's not time. But then I began to realize a father, like our Heavenly Father, gives without any strings attached. That though he could have said no, he gave. Fathers, our children don't need expert anything other than being expert in giving of ourselves. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. About the prodigal son, and he arose and came to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Lord, bless your word today. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Prodigal son took the money, lost the money, was in a pig pen. He finally came to himself. That's interesting if you look at that. You know what I read into that? Somewhere, his father, when he was growing up, told him who he was and his identity in life. And he went out and gave him to sin, but he didn't say, "I'm going to rise up and go over and to someone else's house." He said, "I'm going to my father's house." You see, somewhere he had planted in him the seed of identity from his father. He rose, but while he was still a long way off, they say long way off. You know, I can't imagine when the father heard reports of what was happening. I think probably a lot of joy left. Day after day. Probably had a great farm, a great business, but yet something still nagging down inside of him. Where is my son? You know, God feels the same way. If you read Deuteronomy, he says, you know, you're like son unto me, Israel. He said, but you hardened your heart against me. He said, I don't want that. He said, I've stretched my hands out to you as a father. See, Jesus here is indirectly, really, number one, talking to the Pharisees. He's trying to convey about the law and grace. But he's also talking about the heart of Father God. For God so loved, he gave. Well, why would you give, Father God? Because you know men are going to destroy your inheritance, the inheritance of Christ. And men are not going to esteem it like this. Because, see, a father's nature is to give. And when Christ comes into a father's heart, God begins the reconstruction of his priorities and understanding that he's not there just to make a career. He's there to provide, and he's to provide something greater, and that's himself. I want to give you these real quickly today. What a father gives. First thing, it says he saw him. You know what a father gives, first of all, is attention. Many grew up in homes, or especially in World War II era, that a child was supposed to be seen and not heard. The child was let out in the morning and don't come back till the evening. If a child doesn't get his attention from his father, many times he can get into all types of wrong relationships. Fathers have to give that attention. And like most fathers, most men, we are driven to finish the course. We are driven to make an impact. We are driven to sometimes go to the line of workaholics. And what happens, the attention they need only comes from the mother, but the mother cannot provide everything for that child. And as much as our generation wants to write off men, write off masculinity, write off that, and try to make us all generic, listen, it's a line from hell. God gave, when a man was born, God gave him not only the reproductive organs to plant the seed, but he also gave him something in his mind, something in the psychology of his makeup to be an overcomer, to be a protector. But you know what? The devil is trying to distort that today, and there's even, you know, this thing of mother God, that God's a mother. God is not a mother. God is not feminine. God says, I am the God of all the earth. God is in the masculine. No, he's not a man like we know, but God is not feminine, walking around heaven with pink dresses on, wondering who he is. But our universities and colleges and cultures have so ingrained our children, they're so mixed up. What's going to happen is they need your attention, Dad. And even if they're gone and grown and moved away and married, they still need that attention. It's not going to be the same. But I guarantee you, it'll come to you in an hour where they'll have a crisis. Attention. Second thing, he had compassion. Bible says he had compassion. What is that talking about? Affection. Psalm 103:13, like as a father pities his children, the Lord pities them that fear him. It's never too late to love your children. I don't care how old they are. Yeah. It's never too late, Dad, to hug your boy. He needs that hug from you. Yeah. Hugging is not a feminine thing. It's not a thing where just moms do. Dads need to hug their children. Yeah. And they might resist it, but every once in a while, they just need a hug. I said they just need a hug. Because God hugs us. Amen. Our Heavenly Father hugs us with His presence, with His Word, with His encouragement, with His anointed Word, with fellowship. He hugs us. And they say you should be hugged 4 times a day just to maintain proper psychology and not feeling rejected or abandoned. And then it says he ran. Everybody said he ran. This affirmation. Affirmation is to show or express a strong belief in or dedication to something, someone, such as an important idea. Well, the idea here is your child, to show a strong belief. I believe in you. Yes, you didn't make the football team, but I believe in you. You didn't make president, but I believe in you. Yeah, you did mess up. You did have to go to jail for 30 days, but I believe in you. I believe in you. You see, that's what a father does. Doesn't base his affirmation on the failures of the child. How many children have been recklessly and carelessly talked to after they failed this, drop the football, drop the baseball, whatever. Can't you play? Don't you know anything? That's not Father God. Aren't you glad, God, when we missed it and we struck out, aren't you glad in life He didn't come down and stop affirming us? He ran with His affirmation. He ran towards it. Clothes dirty, hair dirty. He didn't look on the outside, looked on the inside. He said, you're my son! It's not about how perfect you've been. It's not even about that you went into sin. How many know that God could have finished all of us off, say, listen, you sinned, Adam, goodbye, Irene. And he sent his son. And he affirmed his love towards us through the atonement that Jesus paid. Then he embraced the son and speaks of mercy. That speaks of mercy. Let me tell you this. The reason you're here today is because of mercy. Let me tell you that. The reason you're here today is because of mercy. I boast not of works or tell of good deeds, for not have I done to deserve grace. Mercy. Fathers, you're going to have to be merciful 1,000 times from the time the child's born till they leave high school, and then after that you're going to have to be 1,000 till they go into adulthood, 1,000 till they're married, and 1,000 before you pass over this Jordan. Being critical judgment, I told you so. That's not merciful. 99.9% of the time, like ivory soap, children know when they miss it. That doesn't mean there's not correction. That doesn't mean sometimes there's confrontation. But it must be embraced with mercy. You see, many children grow up without a dad that shows mercy. So they start to think, well, that's how God is. God's not merciful. I don't want to serve God. I don't want to go to church. Because my father is a representation of him, that he is, and he's so unmerciful, and the little things I do, and I'm not comparing with my brother, all that stuff, no mercy. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't have anything to do with church. Because we all need mercy. Luke 6:36, be therefore merciful that your father... And you can't straighten out that which is crooked, the Bible says. You can't. Can the leopard change its spots? No. You and I cannot change the hearts of our children, but God can as we show mercy to them. First of all, a child, his heart has got to be open to you. If not, forgive it. There's no amount of badgering them and telling them how bad they are and you're not like your sister. Forget it. That stuff is old. School is called the law. That God, the Father, is merciful to. It would be to our children. And then it says he kissed him. Talking about his love. Why would he kiss someone who smelled like babies? Why would he kiss someone that had been laying with prostitutes for a year? Why would he kiss someone who dishonored him? Because for him, the prodigal son to ask for the inheritance from the father was basically saying, you're dead to me. Why would he kiss him? He could have got a disease if he kissed him. Why would he identify? Not with the sin and the stink. He identified with this. God the Father has unconditional love, and so do I.
Amen.
1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. It's the manner of love. The word manner is like quality. It's like a quality. The manner, the way of this quality of love is beyond anything we've seen. Kissed him. Last time he kissed him, son or daughter. Mother married and have children, so what? It's not the point. Well, they're teenagers, so what? Get a chance to kiss them on the cheek.
Amen.
My father's. He said, I grew up in a time, it's kind of a World War II thing. And dad said, he ran the house. I understand that principle, but when I left home, 19, I never got a call from my dad. How you doing? Never. Never called. Mom did. And I love my dad, and I honor him, and I thank God that he gave his life to Jesus before he died. But my three boys have brought me so much joy in my life. The vacations. Remember one time, Debbie's brother invited us down and said, hey, we have this house not far from the ocean. Why don't you come on down? They were kind of little. They all got in there. Of course, Dad had to pack the car. Remember those things you put on top of the vans there, the luggage? This was cloth, you know. So Dad, I'm up there trying to figure this out. And so we get halfway down to the beach and the thunderstorm, everything gets soaked. But I remember the joy I felt with my family and my boys. Going, walking on the boardwalk at night with them, giving them ice cream. And I'll be honest with you, I miss those days. All the struggles they had, going to school, the kids, and running them here and there. I miss those days. Because there was a joy and happiness to be with them in a different environment than just going to church. They were raised in church. I taught them all. My Pastor Deb taught John how to play the drums. He was 10 years old playing the drums on Wednesday night. Little did we know, he'd be the main drummer at Liberty College for 2 years and pay his tuition. Dan, they're talking about him playing the guitar. He's already made a CD. Will, he's a drummer too, and piano player, and guitar player. He's all great. But I love taking them to practice every week for years and years and years. Because they brought me such joy. Was there struggles? Of course. Remember one time we went to Creation East, I think it was, and rented a cottage at Riften, I think it was Riften. And then we went and saw, man, I saw Phil Kenny, I saw Newsboys, I mean, Jeremy Camp. I mean, we had 90,000 young people. Have you ever, I don't know if anybody's ever been to that Creation thing, 90,000 young people. I'm telling you what, you think you're getting old, go when there's 90,000 young people, and about the third day, man, you're ready to resort back to 25 years old. It's like, what am I thinking, watching Geritol commercials? And Bonanza reruns. Hello. HGTV. I mean, it would come off. I mean, it's something. But I remember going with them, and we're in this cottage, and we're having a great time, and they get into a fight. I'm like, hello? I'm dead. Put up in this cottage. We're going to see all these. I said, look, guys. Look. Y'all trying to kill me? Is that what y'all trying to do? Can we just finish me right off? This is not my case. You're trying to kill me. I said, get it together. And they got it together. But I remember the joy of standing. How do you know who Phil Kegge is? Phil Kegge is one of the greatest guitar players of all time. The best. I've heard them all. Jimi Hendrix. In fact, someone asked Jimi Hendrix, how is it to be the best guitarist in the world? He goes, I don't know. Ask Phil Kegge. Phil Kegge is phenomenal. Not only is he rocking, he's classical, he's just something amazing. And so I took Dave, my older son, and John. We walked down. We're about here to where Michael is sitting. And of course, 90,000 kids, probably 50,000 watts of power. How many know what that is? 50,000. I mean, if Phil Kegge gets up there with a drummer and a bass player, and I'm watching this guy, and as a guitarist, phenomenal. I was like, this is impossible to play like this. Just amazing. It's called John the Revelator. And we had such joy and such fun. And I miss those times. Now life has moved on. You have a grandchild and things happening. And I realized that just as important now to be their father. I won't have the interaction like that. And sometimes after sending a text, it's 2 or 3 days before they respond. But I know that when I'm called upon or when they ask me something, it's my moment. Not to preach at it, but guide. It's a little different guidance than it was before they left home. It was a different guidance. Now it's a different type of guidance. But it is guidance with love. Two scriptures, and we're going to close. Ephesians 6:4. Your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That does not mean that they won't stray. That does not mean that there'll be a season that they have to find their faith. We do our part. Provoking someone to wrath is very discouraging. Colossians 3 says again, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. But anger can have many forms. Not just a rage outburst. It can be a cutting word. Well, I knew you would deny, you know, that's really anger. It's kind of suppressed, but it's focused on a hurtful word. See, people don't realize when you say hurtful words to other people, that really is anger in disguise. It really is. Critical words, judgmental, that's anger. It's your anger. You can say, I'm not angry, but you are angry, but you're just making it like a laser beam. But the root of it is from anger. You don't say mean things to people unless there's a root of anger and bitterness. And we need to realize in this hour, listen, anger words are going everywhere. I don't want any part of it. Whether you're right or whether you're not right, I'm not getting into that spirit. I said, I'm not getting into that spirit.
Amen.
Let your words be few, the Bible says, upon earth. God lives in heaven. The Bible says this, there's life and death in what I say. So, fathers, I want to encourage you today. Be like your heavenly Father. Ask Him to change. Ask Him for insight. Ask Him for wisdom. When the devil comes to say, you know what, they're not serving God, say, I know that right now, but guess what? Somewhere, I spoke to them. Somewhere, I prayed for them. I told Pastor Devil, we got married. I'm going to pray. I'm going to put the kids to bed every night. And there's exceptions, but almost every night, I want to put my boys to bed, and I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to pray. I did that for all three of them for 14 years. Is that true? Because I believed that being connected to God is the greatest thing. And I believe those 14 years is pouring in. All three were dedicated to God. Don't be discouraged, Dad. Fathers, hold your gift up. Get home to God. Fill it up. Something new and fresh for my seed. And at the right time, pour it out. Give up. Amen. Can we say it this morning? Praise God. Prodigal son was accepted. Prodigal son probably was shocked. The father said, bring the best robe. Bring the ring. Kill the fatted calf. Pay the price. He said, my son was dead. Now he's alive. Let's celebrate. And I can say to you, Father, the day will come when you will celebrate what God has done for your child. Don't give up. Give in. God's the Father. He understands the pain you go through. Thank you. happened to his own people. Heavenly Father, we stand before you today, and I bless these fathers. May the grace of God be with them. May their mouth be filled with the law of kindness, mercy, and grace. May we affect a generation that is so fatherless, searching. May we, at this house, this congregation, provide a shelter for those that are orphans, those that don't know their identity. May we not be judges. May we be missionaries of mercy. May we pour forth your grace upon this generation. Thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said. Give God a praise this morning.